If you change your mind,
take a chance.
I'm the first in line.
Take a chance.
Honey, I'm still free.
Take a chance
on me. If you need me, let me know. Gonna be around. If you got no place to go when you're feeling down. If you're all alone, when the pretty birds have flown.
Jason Derulo.
What you say?
I want to start every episode of every podcast I'm on with Jason Derulo's.
And the roof caved in and the something went out. I didn't know what to say.
This is my brother and me.
We're going to auto-tune that in post.
It's an advice show for the modern.
Sounds so crisp.
The modern era. I am Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
Travis has gone one name on us. He's gone Madonna.
Well, I figured, you know, they know who we are by this point, I would hope.
God, I'm Trav, you know.
I'm T-Dog.
What a
T-Man.
Hack.
What?
Don't you know me
T-Sack.
By now?
I'm T-Sack?
Yeah, T-Sack.
It's like,
I said.
It's like when a tea bag's not enough.
You need a T-Sack. I'm T-Bucket.
You're here with J-Rod, T-Bucket, and the Sack.
Mornings. Tune in. Keep it locked. So we are my brother and me. It's an advice show for the modern era. A lot of people, I try to tell them about the show, and they say, "Hey, is it it's just you guys talking?" And I, no, it is an advice show. We give advice, and a lot of it's to random people on Formspring. A lot of it's to people we don't know on Yahoo Answers. But it is an advice show. If you want advice, we'll tell you how to get it at the end of the show. Here's our first question. It's from Formspring Anonymous. How do you make things less awkward between you and an ex?
You move as far away from them as you possibly. You move away and you change your name.
Change your name.
Pretend like they never existed.
They never
existed. Pretend like they never ever existed.
If they talk
people
to you,
people bring them up. Like, hey, how are things between you and Susan? Susan.
Who?
Susan Sarandon? I've never met Susan Sarandon.
How would I know? I hear things are rocky between her and Tim.
Oh, no.
I've heard that, too.
They were getting separated. It's not
as
rocky.
As far as that goes, it really depends on how things ended with you and the ex. Like, right. If they ended really badly, newsflash, dude.
It's
not
going to
get less awkward.
Dude, there are 6 billion people. Move on.
Yeah.
Now, if you're in
a new friend.
If you're in a regular social circle with her and you have to interact with her on a regular basis, then the only thing that's going to cure that is the all-healing balm of time, my man. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have that misconception of, you know, I want to be friends like we were before. But if you actually weren't friends with the person before, that's really hard to establish.
Which you weren't, if you think about it. Really, yeah. Think back. Go back back in the annals.
Walk it back.
Your history. You weren't really friends, were you?
You weren't. Were you really friends, or were you kind of trying to get her to go out with you a little bit?
You met her at that Dave Matthews Band concert, and 2 days later.
What would you say? Would you say yes to a date? It was clever then, but now it's just in retrospect. What are the signs that someone is interested in you and looking for a relationship? I unfortunately found myself smitten by a girl and smitten, but she seemed to enjoy going to movies, dinner, and spending a lot of time with me, but I was too timid to make her mine.
That's
okay. I would say the signs are you going to movies and dinner, and does she enjoy spending a lot of time with you? Those are good signs to look for.
I got a piece of advice for my man, some unsolicited advice. If you want to go out with this girl, stop saying creepy shit like make her mine.
And smitten by her.
My pet.
I made her mine. A bounty of flesh.
So do you want to go see a movie, or should I just make you into a skin suit?
mine, possess you for me. I mean, for life, to own you, to have you. I just want to own you and make you mine.
I just want to own your body.
Just your body?
My body.
My property. I want to make
you
body.
How do you feel about man-sized jars?
I will poke holes in the top.
I'll put a twig in there, some leaves. Don't even worry about it.
Don't even worry about it.
But you're mine now.
As far as the signs you're looking for,
put sugar water interest. In the bottom.
Oh, sugar water.
This one comes from Yahoo Answers, and I think it's great. because you guys are, you're professionals at this, but the question is, who is the founder of acting? I would, the subtitle is, I would really like to know who is the founder of acting. So, any answers on that?
I think it's Aristotle.
I think Aristotle.
I'm pretty sure it's Jim Varney. He was Ernest and the dad from Beverly Hillbillies and that coil dog. High versatility, I think so.
He was the coil dog?
Yeah, he was the coil dog. He's everybody. He,
I didn't know that.
Oh, man. See, exactly. Good on you.
Because he's a fucking chameleon.
He
was a chameleon.
Were there any answers to that one?
There was one from a guy named Theater Doc.
Did he say that? What did he say? Something boring like
a poet named Thespis in 534 BC became the first person to play a part on stage.
What
Jim Varney revolutionized it, though.
He perfected it.
Perfected it. It's like how the Chinese may have invented fireworks, but I guess the Chinese perfected fireworks too. Yeah. We perfected blowing our hands off.
There you go.
This one also comes from Formspring. Hey guys, just wondering what the word cute means. I hear women use the word in conversation all the time, and I am more and more confused about its true meaning, given its multitude of uses.
It means chubby. Sorry, son.
Chubby, but you got a great personality on
chubby
you.
With a great personality. Sorry, Dave.
Just substitute cute with non-threatening, and that's exactly what it means. He's so cute means he's so non-threatening.
And by non-threatening, it means you don't know what she means when she says cute. That's non-threatening for you. That's the definition of non-threatening. Hey, I got a little piece of advice for you, prom king. Next time you're around someone who says cute, flip a table. Just flip a table. See if they keep calling you cute.
Was that adorable? Was that so cute? And then just make love to them right there.
They will not fight.
They would say, can we flip the table back over?
And if they do fight, just make them yours.
They belong to you.
They're your property. Adam has a problem. Adam wrote to us from Gmail. He says, my friend doesn't seem to fully grasp the point of the would you rather game. He poses questions such as, would you rather be able to leap over tall buildings or have the ability to hear babies crying anywhere on the planet? Okay, let me just take a T. I'm going to take a T right here and say, a big T sag right here and say, that's a terrible power. Anywhere that a newborn is distressed, you know, can you imagine what your days would be like? Just constant, like from dusk till dawn, wake up to slumber, not ever sleep, sound of millions of babies crying.
Keep reading the question because I like the second one better.
Or would you rather be on fire or not be on fire?
Oh, God.
I want to meet this guy. How can I teach him the proper way to play? Or is he a lost cause? Adam, I think you got to jettison that one into the sun.
Yeah. Maybe he's just not allowed to play that game anymore.
Maybe not that game. Maybe another one.
Maybe he's really good at checkers.
Be able to breathe underwater or have Lyme disease?
Oh, God. Would you rather win the lottery or be raped by a gorilla?
Would you rather find a crisp, clean $100 bill or watch an elderly loved one be pushed down a flight of stairs? It is up to you. The choice, my friend, is yours. One for the ages. A puzzler for the ages.
Would you rather have a credit card?
Credit card
that you never had to pay back.
Okay, sounds good so far.
Or no teeth.
Or no teeth. Well, can I have both or just the one?
Nope, one
just
or the other.
One or the other. Oh. I guess I could get those metal teeth like the guy from James Bond.
There you go.
I can't decide.
It's a toughie. This one comes from Socrates via Gmail. He says, so I was planning on getting a tattoo on my shoulder, but I'm starting to notice that everyone has one there. I have this thing about trying to be unique, so could you tell me another spot I could get inked? I have one on my right elbow, if that matters.
Yeah, your sack.
Travis says sack.
Travis says go sack.
But Travis has a tattoo. I was going to make a joke. None of us have tattoos on our shoulders, but you've got...
No, I have a tattoo on my shoulder blade. I don't have one on like my actual like shoulder. I have one on my scapula, thanks bones, but not on my actual like shoulder.
Did you just thank your bones?
No, I think the show bones.
No, you're not going to turn another Mamba Bam. You're not going to turn another Mamba into a Bones fan cast.
That's fair.
Boreanaz circle jerk.
He's so dreamy. But right. I actually have four right now. Justin, you got two. Griffin, you got one.
Mm-hmm.
As far as placement goes, dude, everyone's got tattoos everywhere.
If you want to be original, don't get one.
Yeah, you're not going to come up with a place. Like, whoa, what's original? Inside the lip. Yeah, everyone's got that. Behind your ear, everyone's got that. Back of your neck, everyone's got that.
Go eyelid. Get with that that girl in Indiana Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Has that written on our eyelids? Do that.
I don't think that's a tattoo, though. That culturally, seems like sort of
Shit, it's not a tattoo, Griffin.
It seemed like kind of a... she had a crush on her teacher, and so she wrote it.
Is that fine?
You know what
makes sense. I thought she just
instead
had
instead to start listening to the band Tattoo.
I always wanted to get a tattoo of Tattoo from Fantasy Island, and he would be lifting up his shirt, and he would have a tattoo of the band Tattoo.
So there you go. Get that.
And I'll give you $100.
Justin will give you $100. I think we could probably get you a guest spot on the show if you
get a tattoo.
I've had several people ask about guest spots, doing a guest spot on the show, and I don't think they understand the premise of the show.
My brother, and me, and Dave Coulier.
my brother, and me, and the cast of Hairspray. Just three of us, actually.
It's kind of a thing that we do. It's the deal.
Also, what this show needs more of is overtalk. I think we could all use for a little bit more everyone talking at once. This next question comes from Evan versus Gmail. You guys remember when Evan fought Gmail that one time? It was totally awesome. Evan says, I, like many, belong to a group of friends. One of the friends in this group found a guy and started dating him. They're currently living together. No one else in the group likes this guy, but now he's always around whenever she is, and he doesn't have any other friends either, so we're expected to spend his birthday with him. The group has asked me specifically to not be mean to him because she is the other friend's boyfriend, and we don't want to push her out of the group. Evan didn't actually ask a question here. Evan just told us that neat little anecdote.
That's a great story, Evan.
Yeah, I like the part about the birthday.
Do you remember that one scene where he doesn't have any other friends and they're expected to spend his birthday with him?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Evan, here, you didn't ask for advice, but let me give you some. Just be cool.
Just be cool, dog.
Just be cool, man. Cool.
Everyone at some point, I think, has to deal with this, right?
Yeah, it'll shake out eventually, though. Like, that seems to be the way. I mean, either he'll realize he's not welcome and peel off, or, you know, you guys will get to know him. But that's a tough.
It could be that your group of friends is super tight knit, right? And maybe it's not that this guy sucks; it's that you're not willing to let new people in, or maybe he's super shy, which just adds to the situation. So I think you should maybe give the guy,
make an effort,
a second chance. Maybe try and get to know him.
He's not so bad.
Now here's the thing. Counterpoint to that, if he's a real douche, like if he's just not interesting, that's one thing. But if he like is being a jerk and, you know, is mean to this friend and you guys like specifically actually don't like him, that's another thing. And that's worthy of you being mean right back. Don't you take his guff.
Yeah, no.
I'm behind you, Evan.
Don't set it off
because that's going to be on you.
That's on you then.
And that's my fault. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, well, you don't have to live with the repercussions.
Don't.
It's okay, T-Bag. You just got a little T-Sack. Sorry, T-Sack. You just got a little aggravated.
T-Sack out.
We have a strict anti-insta-hating policy. MBMBAM, and I would appreciate it if you'd respect that.
Respect.
Open question from Yahoo Answers user Deep Thinking. What the fuck, girl? She says, "Poll. Would you sleep with a Navi if you could?" Or Navi, one of the blue-skinned peeps from Avatar.
Man, that's tough because who could... I mean, I'm assuming you would be in the world of the Avatar. Who could sleep with all that fucking glowing shit, natural beauty? Wouldn't you just want to get up and scamper?
I wouldn't want to close my eyes.
Who could close their eyes? I wouldn't blink.
I could just get in there. I wouldn't blink. I would just drain... Like, there's a glowing mosquito and it's 3 feet long. This is so much better than doing it.
Way better than doing it. Why would you waste your time?
What's a Na'vi?
A Na'vi is like the big blue people. The big blue people with the
hair.
You
didn't see Avatar?
No,
it's
Avatar.
Congratulations. I didn't see it either. Oh, cool. I'm on the podcast with the two guys left on planet Earth who didn't see Avatar. I mean, it's not a good movie, so I mean, good on you. But,
You want to know? Do you want to know why I didn't see it?
Tell me.
Because of shit like this. One of the answers was from a guy named Warrior's Pride, whose avatar is an avatar or a Na'vi. Oh God, he says, "Yes, I would sleep with myself. I sleep with a mirror. You can sleep with me if you want, but my tail does things involuntarily, like go towards areas that make humans uncomfortable. It's a Na'vi."
Wait, let's get that last line again.
My tail does things involuntarily, like go towards areas that make humans uncomfortable. It's a Na'vi thing.
It's a Na'vi thing. You wouldn't understand.
You wouldn't get it. Us Na'vi understand the science of walnut pleasures.
You wouldn't understand. Get that tail off my walnut.
Oh,
that's the most awkward thing, because I truly believe that that gentleman believes he's answering that question legitimately.
You know he's got like a giant bucket of blue paint, and every morning he wakes up and just
it's a not Griffin, your judge just bothered me because it's a Na'vi thing, man.
Sorry,
how could you get it? You couldn't get it.
The reason I didn't see the movie isn't because I'm afraid I'd encounter people like this. What if, like, I'm afraid
you become what if you began to sleep in you?
What if I became one?
What if you got to live on a beautiful, beautiful forest planet and got to just fucking swing from trees all day?
Right, but the planet is in my mind because I actually live in buttshit Ohio. Like, but it would be in my mind. I would be dancing. I would be, you know, tripping the light fantastic on planet giant blue alien.
Hey, Griffin, did the next line of that answer, was it, "Oh, sorry, I got to go. My attractive wife and kids just walked in the room." Is that the next thing?
That's actually exactly, yeah, that's how it ended.
So here's a question from Formspring. It's anonymous, as most Formspring questions are. What is the best way to approach people who are almost your acquaintances, but not quite? Like, you've talked to them a couple of times, but you barely know their names. Sadly, most of my relationships with people are like that. Okay, good one.
I actually have a trick that I use.
You stand near them until they get upset.
Stand near them, creep your way in. No, work is a team. Get someone like a good friend or a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever. And tell that person ahead of time, "Listen, if I don't introduce you, it's because I've forgotten this person's name." And introduce yourself like I am being a bad friend, boyfriend, girlfriend to you. Like, "Well, I'm Susan. What was your name?" And it's like, "Oh, yeah, sorry." And then you can learn their name again.
I don't think he's asking, or she is asking, how to remember people's names. I think he's just saying he barely knows their names.
He needs to take it to that next step.
I like the idea of a friendship wingman, though.
Yeah, it works out really well.
You know what I'm saying? Like, a guy can be like, you can have a conversation with somebody near somebody that you don't know, but you're friends with your friendship wingman, and you can talk about something that you know that person's interested in, and then suddenly the line becomes a triangle. You know what I'm saying? Friendship triangle.
Find out something that they're interested in. Like, you said that you barely know their names, and that is a huge first step. If you address somebody by their name, Dale Carnegie says that the everyone's favorite sound in the English language is the sound of their own name, as a stone fact. Learn their name, use it a lot, and they're going to warm up to you pretty quickly. And then find out something they're interested in and ask them about it. Talk to them about it.
And if you don't know what they're interested in, use the environment that you're in. If you are at a party, at a show, at a concert, reference what is going on around you. Ask if they're having a good time.
Jeffrey, how did you get to this concert, Jeffrey?
what would you say, Jeffrey?
Jeffrey, what's your favorite Dave Matthews song, Jeffrey?
Jeffrey, how do you enjoy being the butler for the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Jeffrey?
I love Jeffrey Matthews Band. Oops. Jeffrey. What did I do, Jeffrey?
I just took that in, Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, I didn't mean to say that, Jeffrey.
And then your best friends.
And then your best friends, just like that.
Say their name a lot, and then at the first time you meet them, say, hey, nice to meet you, Jeffrey. You want to go to a wine tasting with me, Jeffrey? Jeffrey, let's look at houses.
Jeffrey, it'll be like that movie Sideways, Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, let's go to look at open houses, Jeffrey. Jeffrey.
I bought us matching sweaters, Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, let's wear these matching sweaters, Jeffrey.
Go for a wine tasting Jeffrey. In the country. Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, hug me, Jeffrey.
Come to my villa for a weekend, Jeffrey.
Your villa?
Your villa?
No, they roll the double L's.
Jeffrey. Villa.
Come on, Jeffrey.
Jeffrey. Mike.
Jeffrey.
My Jeffrey and I recently discovered the website Chat Roulette. Now she's on it for several hours a day. I'm worried due to the high percentage of disgusting things and weird people on it. Is this warranted?
Yep, she's looking at dicks.
She's looking all day. Not your dick, though, Jeffrey. Some strange dicks on the internet.
Jeffrey. She's looking at dicks. I'm sorry. I don't know if you use Chat Roulette. It's literally half dick.
Like, you can come up with an ever excuse you want. Like, oh, that dude's playing a guitar. Oh, there's a dick. What? Where'd that dick come from? She's like, did this dick off the screen?
The reason you get on Chat Roulette is either to show your prong to strangers, or if it's like if you're in a large group of people and you've all had a few drinks, and so you're just scanning the internet on Chat Roulette, hoping that you'll see a dick so you can all laugh at it. Like, oh, how crazy is this dick? I didn't want to see
that.
That
dick. What the
but
fuck?
It's so crazy that we all saw that dick together.
Hey, and Jeffrey.
It's a shared experience.
Jeffrey, get over here. Look at this dick, Jeffrey.
And I think the bigger problem is that she is, it's because of anomalies like herself that there are guys showing off their wangs on Chat Roulette. Like, it's just because, like, every one out of 20, there's that one girl who's like, ah! Dicks.
Also, dude, I want to point out, if your girlfriend's on Chat Roulette several hours a day,
yeah,
there's some reevaluating needs to go on there, because that's hours, dude. Hours.
Baby dinners. I made dinner tonight.
I'm on Chat Roulette. Back off.
I'm looking at wieners.
But this red cabbage took me 2 hours to prepare and season correctly.
This guy's been seasoning his sausage for 3 minutes now.
Maybe we're late for Grandpapa's funeral. I'm on Chat Roulette.
Bang. Bang.
Here's one from Yahoo Answers. I don't want any answers from us on it because it's kind of a creepy question, but I think the answers are better than the question itself. The question is, do you know any good songs to have sex to? Kind of creepy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's some of the responses. Let's Get It On, Marvin Gaye. Sure, yeah, reasonable. Yeah. Doing It by LL Cool J.
Okay, oh, yeah. A little on the nose for me, but
right. 1,000 Years by Sting. Not familiar with the track, but if it's by Sting, then
and
I bet it's a long
1,000 Years.
Yeah, I bet it's a long one.
That tantric shit rules.
Beat It by Michael Jackson.
Well, I'm not so sure about that.
Eminem, Superman. Well,
yeah. Okay, yeah, why not? It's a little, that's a little more circumspect.
Nelly, Hot in Here. Well, okay, now yeah. The train's gone off the tracks. That's some weird bedroom activities if you're listening to Hot in Here. That song's way too, it's got a too heavy a beat. 50 Cent in the club. Well,
maybe well, wait till you get home.
Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go.
Okay.
Anything by Kid Rock, Nickelback, and Aerosmith. Slow by Jamie Foxx. Wow.
Well, okay. The problem with that is
Nothing on the Radio, Getting You Home. Why don't we just dance? I don't know what that means, Miss Flintstone.
At this point.
Is it a lyric? Why don't we get Drunk and Screw by Jimmy Buffett? Good one.
No.
H&R Puffin' Stuff is your Yahoo Answers name. Everyone finds them on Yahoo. Sailor.
That's a great one.
That's a great one. Cheeseburger in Paradise? Yes.
Cheeseburger in Paradise is a good thing.
Anything off Boats. His seminal 1981 album Boats.
I'm actually, if you got to pick one song, it's got to be Amazing Grace, right?
Oh, yeah.
Got to be Amazing Grace.
But only the first two verses.
got an anonymous question from a FormSpring user who says, I'm a software developer at a local semiconductor company. The pay and benefits are awesome, but the job isn't challenging. Should I look for a more interesting job or stay and keep making a lot of money but be really bored? What, are you shitting me?
Get that money, dog.
Dude.
The pay and benefits are awesome.
Get that money.
Get that money, and then you can spend
that. Do you want challenge? Do a Sudoku. What's wrong with you? Have you seen the way the economy is now? Just keep that money and get it. Get that money till you're rich.
Yeah, dude.
Don't
make that green.
Do it with one hand tied behind your back.
Also, I just want to throw out right here. You work with stuff called semiconductors. How is that not awesome?
Maybe pay attention. It sounds dangerous.
Yeah. I swapped the anti-gravity field for an EMP pulse generator. If I flip the wrong switch, I destroy reality.
No problem.
Pretty boring.
We're just trying to recreate the power of a star on Earth.
We're just trying to find the God element, but
it's not challenging. Hey, pass me that Sudoku, Jeffrey. Hey.
Did you read today's Dilbert? Oh,
man.
We're trying to find God in this machine, this tube, this super collider. But, this Dilbert's really good.
I think, okay. Super collider semiconductor.
A semiconductor is a common part used in a super collider. It's what shoots the two things that collide into each other. Mm-hmm. I took one semester of, well, it was geography. Was my integrated science class.
But you minored in semiconductory, right?
That is true. No, sociology. They sound similar.
That was it.
My bad. But they are not.
That one's all
what is me. What is the best way to get past the friend zone with a lady friend?
Can't be done.
Nope.
Can't be done.
Got to move in fast or not at all.
And once you're in the friend zone, you don't ever get out. That's been my experience. Unless.
you're in the friend zone because they're dating one of your friends. I'm not condoning that kind of activity. Unless
you are.
Unless you feel that call.
But you feel that call of chemistry.
She'd be better with you than him.
Yeah, he's always in there listening to Jamie Foxx songs. Are they trying to knock boots? You know, you'd play Doing It by LL Cool J, something proper, something smooth like Amazing Grace.
You know, it's funny to me. We keep getting questions like, how do I move out of the friend zone? How do I know when someone actually wants a relationship with me?
Yeah, you know the question about my brother and me doesn't get a lot? Like, I'm in a relationship with several women.
Yeah, exactly.
How do I terminate one of them and just get some more friends?
I just have women calling me every day, and I am sick of it. But my answer to all of these questions is, for some reason, we all think there's this secret code, and there's body language to look for, and there's certain combinations of words to look for. Just ask them. Just grow a pair and be like, hey, listen, I dig you. What is this? And then don't let that change your friendship. Or if it does, then you need to make the decision which is more important.
Such a modern thought. Like, I think you should just, like Travis said, just caveman it up and be like, you me date, be good.
We'll make
you
let's
mine. Do this.
Because they want it too. Nobody wants to be friends with
the problem.
And I understand the fear. That comes from, like, I don't want to push this, but...
I get it, but, like, here's the thing, and this is kind of a different way of looking at it. Maybe it'll help you. If you're thinking this way, you're not in the friend zone, okay? Yeah. She is. You're not. You're not in the friend zone. And the reason that you're, like, if you're friends with somebody, a lot of times being friends with somebody of the opposite sex, and I know everybody's done this, so they can't act like they can't, but they don't, but... I've been friends with somebody of the opposite sex who I think maybe kind of digs me because it makes me feel good about myself. Everyone's done it. Please don't think I'm a bad person. Everybody does it. So you may – and I've been on the receiving end of that too. So if that's not working out for you, if that connection isn't getting it done for you, you need to just pony up because, like, at this point, the point you're at now psychologically – you can't worry about losing the friendship because psychologically you already have because you're out of the friend zone. You are past the friend zone. You're not there anymore.
And the thing is, don't fool yourself into thinking they don't know that you dig them.
Right.
People are very smart and pick up on stuff like that every day. They know that you do. You know, maybe you touch their shoulder a little bit too long, or you've been complimenting them more than you have in the past. But people pick up on that, dude. So she probably knows that, and her failure to reciprocate back tells you you're not gonna move out of that.
Or just ask if it doesn't pan out, bail. Bail on – not bail on the friendship. Bail on worrying about it as a relationship.
Ruin the friendship then.
Yeah.
Let me call back to an answer we frequently give out to queries like this, which is just get more attractive.
Just be more attractive.
Maybe do some pull-ups. Maybe do some pull-ups. Work your core.
Just work that core. Blast it. Just blast your
blast
core.
Blast it. Blast your core out. Pump up on some pec juice. And then it's going to be so much easier to get past the friend zone. It's
going
to
be a lot easier.
It's going to be hard for her to stay in the friend zone when she's in the bone zone. Am I right, Ellis?
My man Matt, he writes to us from Gmail. He says he's currently looking for a new job. What are some excuses he could use to leave his current job early to go on interviews? If he goes to any more doctor's appointments, they're going to think something seriously is wrong with me.
Urologist appointments.
Yeah.
That's
the kind of doctor.
Okay, that's true.
Nice job, Scratch.
Canning appointments.
It's all right, T-Sack. You just got a little really aggressive. That's a good question. How many interviews are you going on that are panning out? That this is a problem.
Because you may just want to stick with that job.
Maybe just keep this job. Maybe you are not suited for other jobs.
No, let's give him some serious, real help, because we're three creative types. We can come up. I'm working on something in my mind. I haven't fully developed it, but it involves psychic powers. I don't. Maybe say you have psychic powers and you've sensed that there's going to be a horrible catastrophe, but really sell it so that everyone else actually thinks you could get the whole office to leave. And then when you come in the next morning, be like, it wasn't today. It wasn't yesterday, but it's definitely coming soon. I feel it. In my bones.
It may be time for lupus. Maybe time for lupus. I know I don't like to break glass in case of emergency on lupus too often, but maybe time to fake lupus.
And he says he means that in very, very literally, because Justin has a vial of lupus that he keeps nearby in case he needs to be sick for a long, long time.
I will give you this caution, Matt. If any of those businesses or places that you're going to interview for call your current employer for a reference or anything like that, you're effed, dude.
Yeah, the house of cards just comes tumbling down.
Yeah, so watch out for that.
So how would you describe Matt as a worker? Well, he was a great worker, but his productivity slowed down pretty significantly when he got that lupus.
What? What did he
say? Lupus. The lupus that he has.
That he definitely has, that no one would lie about.
He definitely had that lupus. I saw his wheelchair. He's messed up with the lupus.
The doctors are sure of it. I definitely have breast cancer.
They're curing that every day.
Wesley, so maybe don't lie.
Wesley, he says, recently my wife and I wanted another dog. I wanted to adopt an older dog like we had before, but she wanted a puppy. So we got a puppy. Well, there it is, right? Now she complains about the work involved with the puppy and complains about the puppy peeing in the house. Is it appropriate to say, I told you so? Or should I remain quiet when she complains? Oh, dude, that fixes nothing.
Yeah, don't.
Don't play the I told you so game, man. It fixes nothing. They know. Trust me, don't play that. Oh, don't do it. I can't give you a strong enough recommendation. Don't do that.
I can give you some real world puppy advice.
Travis, professional dog trainer, you've wandered right into his wheelhouse.
The question between an older dog and a puppy, there are benefits to both. The benefit of getting a puppy versus an older dog is it is easier to train on a puppy the way that you want it to be, where older dogs, any behavior problems are more ingrained and harder to train out.
And it won't older die dogs, as quickly.
Yes. Older dogs usually come more docile and with less house training problems, but a puppy's going to grow out of that in like 4 months. It's not going to be a problem anymore. And now you have this puppy that you can train to be the kind of dog you want easier than an older dog.
Puppy just full of vitality and life.
You know, my problem with old dogs is not enough Martin Lawrence.
I really thought his character was underdeveloped.
Oh, God. No, that's Wild Hogs, you liar.
What?
You're thinking of the wrong Old Hogs. Wait, Wild Hogs. Which one is it?
I choked. You're right. Old Dogs is a...
Old Dogs Frogs. Is Robin Williams.
Frogs.
Robin Williams and
so,
the Scientologist
by
guy
extension,
who named his son. He named his son after an airplane.
By extension, it
John Travolta.
It did not have enough Martin Lawrence.
Yes. No, that's true.
What Justin said was completely accurate.
Okay.
Also, I'm sorry for making fun of Jet Travolta. He's passed, and that was beneath me.
That's true. So Andrew from Gmail asks,
"You're going to read a question?"
And now he's
I know, it's weird, right? What are some ways to help build motivation for things like studying and working on personal projects?
I didn't like that. I wish you would do that in the future.
Damn it.
I wish you would leave it to me and Justin.
Yeah, it was very important.
I got caught up in the moment.
Right, right.
I get it. I get how it happens. It's just, it made it pretty uncomfortable.
That was my bad. Listen, that's all on TSAC.
That's how TSAC does, though.
That's how I roll.
You know what, Andrew? Go take a shower.
Oh, yeah?
Go take a shower. I've been making myself shower. Ooh, I'm actually 13 minutes past due for my shower. I've been doing my noon shower, and, like, I'll work and I'll write a bit in the morning, and then, like, I'll feel my energy start to be sapped from me by some unseen force, and I'll just go hop in the shower, and then it's like the second cup of coffee. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, also coffee. Lots and lots of coffee.
Coffee's good.
That helps, but mostly just showers, because showers are great because they also keep you clean.
I also like to operate in a clean environment. That being said, I usually
don't
get a lot of stuff,
sir.
That's why I don't get anything done. People are like, why didn't you get anything done? Because I didn't clean my room.
I didn't get anything done because there's a 4-month-old bowl of salsa sitting right next to my computer mouse. It's sitting right there. If I
are
put
you
my
talking
hand
about
down,
me, sir, or are you talking about yourself?
Oh, we don't want to have this fight, do we?
Yeah, we're not doing this, guys. Kyle writes in. He says, I have a problem with talking to girls. He has a problem with making them
making
hits.
Them mine.
Wait, you lied. I have a problem with talking to girls that I'm
interested in. I keep putting in jars, and I don't know what to do about it.
I have a problem with talking to girls that I'm interested in. I can never gather up enough courage to ask them out, which leads me to worry about it and develop anxiety attacks. I don't have a problem with talking to ladies in committed relationships or females that I'm not interested in. Oh, help me out, please. Kyle, dude, you're psyching yourself out. You know that thing? You know that thing you hear where it's like, once you get married... you know, that's when girls all find you attractive. It's not being married. It's not giving a shit.
Yeah, it's that confidence. I say you start dating girls you're not interested in.
Okay.
If you have no problem talking to them, go with that.
Yeah, that's a great idea. That's a great life plan.
Nothing bad could come of that.
Yeah.
That explains so much, Travis. Sorry, TSAC.
TSAC. That's TSAC. That's not Travis. Let's separate.
Travis.
Kyle, as far as that goes, you know, Justin's right. You're psyching yourself out. You're just getting yourself down, dude. And just, you know, talk to them like you're not interested in them. Just
go take a shower. Take a shower and then just caveman it up. I'm telling you, that's not a joke. Like, if I'm at a bar and I'm too nervous to talk to a girl, I just flip the caveman switch. It's like, hey, you look nice. You buy
dance
a drink.
With me.
We dance now. We dance now to the flamenco music.
If you okay, first off, maybe you're not going to flamenco bars. That's the place to go to meet ladies.
Flamenco bar. Oh my God, you would not believe how successful I've been strip mining at flamenco bars for ladies.
Kyle, you have to get – this is a – you have to tell yourself this is a mental block. The problem with this is solely on you. If you start thinking to yourself – don't – you know how it's easier for you to talk to girls in a committed relationship, right? Start telling yourself in your head that you are in a committed relationship, that no matter what you do, you don't want to meet a girl to go out with. You want to meet a girl to just to talk to a girl at a bar. Because I know that thing when you're single, you turn to like the Terminator, right? You got the HUD, and every girl you look at is like, boop, 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 you know, isn't into me. I don't like her coat. You know, you're analyzing every girl, and you gotta let that go. It's a mental block. Let it go. Just go talk.
She's not always gonna be wearing that coat.
She might get a new coat.
She might get a new coat.
Just pretend.
Real,
nice seersucker.
Tell yourself
seersucker?
Seersucker? What?
Yeah, seersucker.
Tell yourself you're in a committed relationship. Pretend that you're in a committed relationship and just go for it. Because like what you're trying to do is get someone that who doesn't know you at all to accept you in a few minutes, and that's not going to get you anywhere. Just go talk to people to be talking to them. And if that doesn't help, prostitution. It's a lot of law enforcement turns a blind eye these days.
Hugh Grant's doing it.
He's down. What's up? Notting Hill not good enough for you?
Hugh Grant.
He's really cleaned up. What? Isn't there anybody more relevant? Hasn't Charlie Sheen probably been busted for that?
Yeah, I think he's done that pretty recently.
Jordan from Gmail. When is the right time to move out? He's 20 years old now. I'm going to assume it's a he. 21 on the Monday this podcast comes out. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Jordan.
Boost it up, son.
Have one on me.
Boost it. Did you say boost
it? Send that receipt to Griffin. He will reimburse you with
send
a personal
me that receipt.
Check.
And attending college, the commute of 1 hour total a day to school. I will be done.
That's miserable.
That's terrible.
Yeah, that's awful, dude.
Lots of podcast time, though. Loyal customer. I hope to be done with school soon, but hope to be taking a follow-up online course that will last around 18 months. If you could lay out some sort of timetable on when it's appropriate to depart the nest, I'd be much obliged. I don't have much money right now, but I do live in Canada where hugs are currency. Thanks in advance, Jordan.
Jordan, you're 20 years old now? I'm going to say the timetable is 2 years ago. I think I'm not sure how you can make that happen, but if you can find some sort of
I will say this, Jordan, when living at home stops your life from developing, it's time to move out. So 2 years ago.
I do want to okay, speaking of someone who lived at home a little to this age, to 20, maybe 21, perhaps 22. Make sure you have some money together, because you know if you can stay there and get together a nest egg, go do that and get together enough money that you're not going to be like dying or starving to death. But you know it really, I know it's intimidating if you haven't done all the stuff, like if you haven't, you know, signed the lease and looked for the apartment and done all that garbage. But it's really
so easy.
Look around. Look around at the stupid, awful people that you meet every day who you still love because that's what makes the world go round. But they're stupid and terrible. Remember that they have done all this stuff that you are intimidated by. Assuming that you're intimidated by it, and that's kind of what it is, because it's not that hard. Just make sure you have a steady income. And specifically, though, doing the things like setting up your gas and crap like that, it's really not complicated.
And the nice thing is once you start doing it, it's really empowering. It really does feel good to be like, I set up that electric account. And it really makes you feel like an adult. And it's really a great feeling.
Yep. Just get out there and start trying it. Also, it might help if you ask friends, see if anybody needed a roomie to kind of ease in that way. Somebody who's already handling all this stuff.
Or brothers.
Brothers.
But as far as the timetable goes, don't rush yourself because you don't want to do it when you're not ready and you're not prepared and you don't have the money. But, you know, there's no reason to wait. You're not
really
waiting
it.
On anything.
Take the leap.
Hey, did you ask did you ask Jeffrey if you needed a roommate?
Jeffrey, we should move in together.
Jeffrey, we've just met Jeffrey, but let's
Jeffrey,
move in.
It's a one-bedroom apartment, but it's awfully spacious.
Jeffrey,
how do you feel about bunk beds, Jeffrey?
Got a California king bed. I promise we won't touch Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, will you hold me during the thunderstorms, Jeffrey?
Jeffrey, it's hailing.
Jeffrey, the black clouds are rolling in. Jeffrey,
let us buy a puppy together, Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, we'll name him Jeffrey.
Oh, Jeffrey. Let's go shopping at the local market, Jeffrey.
Too droll, Jeffrey.
So, I've got my final question loaded up on Yahoo, and it's been about 40 minutes. So let's tell it how all these nice people can get a hold of us.
First, can we just say thank you to everybody?
Thank you.
We passed 10,000 downloads this 10K. Week. 10K downloads this week. The show's blowing up. Everybody loves it. Do me a favor. Listen to me. I'm just saying nonsense. Not everybody loves it, though, because a lot of people aren't listening, if you can believe that. They're missing out on this.
How many people are on the planet right now?
Too many. Don't keep your light under a bushel.
You know what you can do? You can burn it on a CD. It's a short show. You can burn maybe two episodes on a CD disc.
Have a little listening party. Whatever.
This is great. And then you can talk about your favorite parts and you can give each other advice. That's what I want to. I want us to start like a pay it forward style, like social movement where we change the country for the
better. Like a cult?
Like a cult. But do please tell a friend. Tell somebody just right now. Don't even think about it. Send them a link. Say, hey, I think you'd like this because anybody would.
And you know what? If you're a fan and you haven't subscribed to us on iTunes yet, please do that. That would be really
great. Review us on iTunes. That helps a lot. And we really appreciate it. And I can't even pressure people too much because people have been so great so far. Everybody has seriously. And also, we got to thank Justin Russo again for creating tons of great art. If you haven't seen, been on our Facebook group and looked at his image for My Walnut is a Temple, you need to, because it makes you laugh.
What do you think the image for this episode is going to be?
I don't know. It's going to be hard.
I think it's going to be Jeffrey-based.
Jeffrey-centric. So that is
As far as how to contact us goes, go to mbmbam.com, and it's all on there. We have the Twitter, Gmail,
website,
Formspring. Any of those are great ways to contact us.
Email us at mbmbam@gmail.com. We'll get that and we'll read it and use it if it's just not dumb. Don't be dumb.
I see a lot of tweets with mbmbam and the hashtag and just people quoting stuff from the show. Or remember, you can ask questions that way, though I understand if you want to keep your questions private.
A lot of Huntingtonians up on that show.
Yeah, yep. People are down with it.
I think that's where our first live app's going to be. I think someplace in.
We'll go to Cincy. Someplace people will actually go. But guys, and thank you for finding 40 minutes to listen to us. I really appreciate it, and we're so happy you could come out.
So pleased.
So pleased.
Yahoo Answers user B, just letter B, says, "Smoke coming from my belly button."
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
And this has been my brother, and me.
You will never know me.
I was lying in bed and my mom turned out the light. It was about 10 p.m. and as the light was turned out, I thought I heard someone speak and say, "Oh." About 30 minutes later, my belly felt warm. I looked under the duvet and saw a little light coming from my belly button. On closer inspection, I thought I saw something fly out and leave my duvet. I pushed my belly button and a bit of smoke came out. What the fuck just happened? This was not a dream and has left me utterly confused.